Hello and welcome to the MVC Conf live stream. We've got four other tracks running all day today. You can see them at mvcconf.com. But we're really excited about the live stream here. It's being paid for by our premium sponsor, Umbraco, and also very happy and thankful to Microsoft support for the Channel 9 studios. All sessions today are being recorded, so if you miss anything, you can catch them later. And I don't want to waste any more of your time. Here's Scott.
Cool. I want to say a big thank you to everyone for attending today. For those of you that have either missed the sessions that have already happened earlier this morning or didn't get a chance to register in time to attend the sessions that are happening the rest of the day, I did want to make sure to point out all the sessions are being recorded, and I'll make sure we do a blog post that links to all of them a little bit later on this week once they're actually posted for you to view offline. And so all the content that you see here, either live today or if you miss it, you can always catch up and see it a little bit later. Today's kind of a bit of a special event in the sense of it's the second annual MVC Conf that we've done. We did the first one last year. This one is even bigger than ever. We've had more than 3,000 people register for the event. It's a free event, but we actually ran into a limit in terms of just the sheer number of people that can actually watch it live, which is a great testament to sort of how popular the event is. And in particular, I think it's kind of an amazing event in the sense of it's really community organized and community led. And all the sessions are being presented by volunteers. All the sessions were actually picked by the presenters. And we're having more than 27 different content sessions actually being presented today with a lot of great content. A lot of content really sort of, you know, presented by people that are using the product on a day-to-day basis and can actually, you know, tell you the good and the bad, the warts and everything in terms of how to take advantage of it and how to best use it. And, you know, I want to say a huge thank you to everyone in the community for both watching the event and, in particular, all the presenters that are presenting here today. In particular, I want to call out Javier Lopez and Eric Hexter, as well as John Galloway, for helping kind of coordinate and organize all this. It's just a tremendous amount of effort on their part in putting together the website, and putting together the sessions, the speakers, and all the content. And it's a, you know, just a fantastic amount of work, and we truly appreciate kind of all the energy that went into it. What I'm going to do with this keynote today is spend a little bit of time just talking some context in MVC, some of the kind of thoughts in terms of where we've been, where we're going, and then actually open it up to be what's called an unplug session. And so we're going to use Twitter, given it's a community-based event, to actually have people suggest questions, and I will spend about 30 or 40 minutes at the end answering as many questions as possible. So it's going to be kind of a dynamic keynote. Even I don't know what's going to come next, hopefully we can make it kind of fun and interesting. So in terms of kind of just a little bit of context before we get to the unplug session, I want to talk a little bit for people that are new to MVC or who are trying to figure out kind of how does MVC fit into a kind of our overall development plan at Microsoft. You know, talk a little bit about kind of ASP.NET at a broad level before we and then drill into MVC in particular. Last summer, actually, 2010 actually marked the 10th anniversary of ASP.NET. We actually introduced it the summer of 2000. And, you know, since that time, it's come a long way in terms of feature set, in terms of capabilities. And we have more than 2 million developers that are actually now using ASP.NET on a daily basis, which is just a phenomenal number. And one of the things that we've done over the last couple of years is kind of broadened ASP.NET to kind of be more inclusive of different programming models and add a bunch more features across the entire stack. And when we first started ASP.NET, the kind of the core and really the only programming model that we really promoted was the programming model we call Web Forms. Is provide kind of a familiar, reusable, productive-based model that's controls-based and is super popular and continues to be super popular and that we're investing heavily in going forward. The last couple of years, though, we've broadened ASP.NET to also kind of target two other kind of what we think of programming model segments or customers that we think are also pretty interesting. And our goal here is not to actually replace our existing stuff, but actually to kind of broaden ASP.NET so that regardless of what your particular programming preference or language preference is, that you can actually take full advantage of it using something you find really approachable and that you really like. One of these, obviously, is MVC, which is what today is all focused about. And our goal with there was to kind of provide a programming framework option that was very powerful, had really rich extensibility, and a lot of the sessions you'll see here today are about extending it in interesting ways, and that really embraced kind of an agile-based development workflow, both in terms of how we build it, but also the features and the capabilities that we introduce with it. Also, more recently, last month, we shipped our first release, what we call Web Matrix, which is kind of another part of ASP.NET that's aimed to kind of be sort of simple, light, and fast. And it includes both a core kind of ASP.NET we call Web Pages model, which is based on the Razor View engine, for those of you from MVC that are familiar with that. You know, it's kind of designed to kind of enable you to get stuff done quickly kind of bring with it a very few amount of concepts that you need to master in order to get things done. The core thing about all these sort of different options, though, is they're all built on top of the core ASP.NET and the core .NET framework. And what that means is most of our investments that we make with .NET and with ASP.NET automatically apply to all three of those. And so, you know, when things like recently we've shipped IIS Express and SQL CE and some of the data improvements that we're making with EF Code First, because they're just part of .NET, part of Visual Studio, all those improvements will actually apply regardless of whether you're doing it with Web Matrix, Web Forms, or MVC. And you're going to see us continue to kind of invest along those lines going forward to make sure that all of the investments that we do kind of apply as much as possible to all three of those different programming models. We're also, you're going to see over the next couple of years, a bunch of improvements to each of the three that borrow concepts and ideas from one of the others. So, for example, with ASP.NET 4, with Web Forms, we added the concept of routing that we first pioneered with MVC, with the first MVC release. In the next release of Web Forms, you're going to see us bring a lot of the model binding and some of the more powerful validation and model-based validation approaches that we've had in MVC to Web Forms as well. And so the data controls inside Web Forms will be able to take advantage of those types of concepts directly. Likewise, you know, we've taken concepts from Web Forms and from Web Matrix and are bringing them into MVC as well, where appropriate. One of the things that I think with the new MVC 3 release that we just shipped that people are most excited about is this new view engine that we call Razor. And as an example, Razor was actually originally developed for Web Matrix, not actually for MVC. And as we saw that coming along pretty nicely, we said, wow, that's actually pretty cool. We can apply that to MVC as well. And we kind of integrated it in a very natural way into MVC. And so that kind of idea sharing allows us to kind of be agile, allows us to share concepts across them. And it also means because, again, it's all built on the same core ASP.NET and .NET framework, the core set of features that we build going forward, both in Visual Studio and at the runtime level, will apply to all three. And so, you know, you shouldn't feel like you need to use one or the other, or one's good or one's bad, or one's going away or one's, you know, appearing. Instead, you should feel comfortable with whichever one that you feel best fits your development work style. And, you know, trust that we're going to be investing heavily in all three going forward. So let's, you know, that's a little bit in terms of the broad ASP.NET. Let's actually maybe get more specific on a few thoughts on ASP.NET MVC in particular, and then we'll open it up to questions and kind of adapt the course on the fly based on kind of what you want to hear from me. As I mentioned, we kind of introduced ASP.NET MVC about 2 years ago. It was the first release shipped. And our goal with it was to really provide a very powerful, extensible, and agile-based web framework. And we think we've kind of done a pretty good job of doing that. I'd say one of the things, you know, that about the ASP.NET MVC option is it's not the first MVC option that's been out there. Different frameworks, Java, Smalltalk before it, have had MVC frameworks really for 15 or so years. You know, introducing it, you know, some people might say, hey, Are you kind of coming a little bit late to the market? You know, in some ways, maybe we did. At the same time, though, I think one of the things that's given us the ability to do has been to kind of really think through what we wanted to do. Frankly, borrow best practices from a variety of other frameworks out there and really look at how can we innovate and provide unique value on top of .NET, on top of Visual Studio, and on top of ASP.NET. And that's been kind of our approach throughout the project, has been to try to figure out kind of, you know, how can we synthesize as many ideas, throw out the things we don't think are good, incorporate the things that we think are good, and then try to figure out also at the same time what are some of the unique things that we can bring with .NET that we think really add a lot of value. One of the kind of, I'd say, design philosophies that we've tried to embrace has been kind of an agile-based development workflow and kind of try to at the same time incorporate kind of this kind of concept that if you're a basketball fan, you might have heard Coach John Wooden used to say, which was be quick but don't hurry. And basically the goal behind that is how do we make sure that as we build MVC, we're very thoughtful about kind of our feature evolution. How do we be smart? How do we be thoughtful? How do we be consistent across the different releases? And at the same time, move as fast as we can. But don't move so fast that you can actually make mistakes or introduce features that you then obsolete in the next release, and instead try to get a really kind of regular cadence going in terms of the development workflow that allows us to kind of be fast but not too quick. And you know, in general, I think the teams kind of embrace the development teams embrace that quite a bit, and that's kind of allowed us over the last 2 years to deliver three steady releases on kind of a pretty much annual release cadence. So in V1 we introduced in March of 2009, V2 was March 2010, and V3 we just shipped about 2.5 weeks ago. And you know, what you're going to see going forward over the next couple years is us pretty much keep to that same annual cadence. We think that's a pretty good workflow. What we're going to do at the same time is make sure that as we add those features, the features we do add on that annual cadence are kind of as baked, really thought out and designed as possible, so that not only you get a lot of steady improvements, but you can know that when V4 and V5 and V6 come along, hopefully they won't be changing the core way that you actually build your apps today, and instead you can view them as kind of nice evolutionary improvements with steady kind of improvements coming along the way. One of the things I should mention here is we've got three kind of releases that we've shipped in 2 years. We've also shipped 16 ASP.NET MVC preview releases before we shipped those, which is kind of, I think, probably for any Microsoft product, probably the most previews we've ever done. And part of the goal behind that and part of the reason behind that was kind of this, like as I mentioned, kind of be quick but don't hurry, is to make sure that we get the feedback from the community, to make sure that we are building the right set of features, and to make sure that we take our time if we don't think we have it right yet before we ship. And you're going to see, again, that kind of cadence of kind of regular previews, lots of interactive feedback, something that will continue forward with MVC. And if you look at other releases that we've done recently, like the new EF Code First release, we've tried to take that same approach across, you know, those other .NET framework technologies, and not be afraid if we need to, let's add another preview. Let's make sure we get it right. And at the same time, try to move quickly, but not too quick that we make mistakes. And so that's generally kind of a philosophy that we're trying to do across .NET, and I think hopefully it really leads to kind of much better products, products that are really built with your feedback in mind, and can really enable a bunch of great things. So I mentioned we're kind of right now on kind of an annual release cadence. The V3 release we just shipped last month has a ton of improvements. I mentioned earlier the Razor View engine is probably one of the more popular areas of improvements, but lots of improvements around JavaScript, lots of improvements around unobtrusive JavaScript in particular, lots of improvements around validation, lots of improvements around kind of our overall model-based approach, and lots of improvements kind of up and down the stack in terms of extensibility, including especially for dependency injection and for better testing. And so we think that the V3 release we just shipped introduces a whole bunch of capabilities, both from a productivity perspective as well as from an overall extensibility perspective, that we think make it a pretty special release. What you're going to see over the next couple months and really over the next couple years is a lot of kind of investments that, again, continue to build on top of that core base that we've built up for the first three releases, and bring substantial kind of improvements in a bunch of different areas. And this area, the list I have here on the slide, is definitely not exhaustive, so don't worry if your favorite feature is not on that list. But just those are kind of examples of a couple of areas of investment that we think we can really kind of add some unique innovation, and expect to see both on the runtime and the tooling side a lot of improvements coming forward. They include taking more advantage of HTML5. You know, we started that with ASP.NET MVC3. By introducing the way our project templates as well as our validation works takes advantage of the new unobtrusive-based JavaScript approach with the data dash annotations that HTML5 enables. You'll see a lot more HTML5 support both for markup as well as runtime features in the future. You're going to see a lot more focus around client-side JavaScript development. You know, we think one of the things that makes that MVC is particularly good at is because it's a little bit lower level of a framework, kind of enables you to integrate JavaScript into your app a little bit better. You know, again, you'll expect to see a bunch of improvements along those lines and investments to kind of enable if you want to build a client-heavy JavaScript app to kind of integrate very nicely with the server. As part of that, we're working very closely with the jQuery project. One of the things that MVC did a couple years ago was actually start shipping jQuery inside the project templates, which today probably seems obvious at the time, 2 or 3 years ago, was a bit revolutionary. one of the models we've moved to over the last year has been for us to actually be contributing code directly into the jQuery project. And there's some new jQuery templates, globalization, as well as data binding plugins that are now official jQuery plugins that we're contributing and that we're working very closely with the jQuery project and core team on in terms of evolving those nicely. One of the projects that you'll hear more about a little bit later this year that was recently announced a little quietly, and we'll talk more about it as we're ready, is a new jQuery data grid control or plugin that's being built by the jQuery UI group. This is actually a project that we're sponsoring, and you'll see more in terms of, and it provides basically a very rich way to do client-side kind of data grid-like scenarios using jQuery. And what's nice is it'll work with any framework out there, so it's not tied to .NET in any way. It's designed to be a generic jQuery plugin. But what you'll see us do both with ASP.NET MVC as well as with WebForms and WebMatrix is make it really easy for you to integrate that on the server side with our frameworks and provide kind of a really nice end-to-end workflow. And we think that's great for developers everywhere running on any framework, but also I think, again, it's sort of an example of where we think that we can kind of provide some unique value and kind of nice integration within our frameworks as well. Other investments you'll see us make are focusing on mobile. And so you'll see a lot more focus around mobile for both phones and tablets from within MVC. You'll see us kind of focus a lot on what we call async-based programming. This is something that we introduced actually with the very first release of ASP.NET 10 years ago, is the ability to come what we call async on the server. And the concept there is that you can basically yield back a worker thread that you're doing a long-lived operation so that you can avoid kind of tying down your server anytime you're making requests. And it was something that a few people wanted at the very beginning, but it's become ever more important in this world where we're taking advantage of services, whether they're SOAP or REST or just plain JSON-based services where our servers are talking. The challenge always with async has been how do you kind of program it so that it's frankly not a bunch of spaghetti code when you do it, because doing the right kind of code to yield back a worker thread turns out to be fairly messy if you do it right. Spinning up a thread, by the way, a new thread to do something long-lived is actually more elegant from a code perspective, but kills you on the perf. What we're trying to do with the new version of .NET, and we showed a preview of this at the PDC last fall, is kind of incorporate async directly into our programming languages, both C# and VB, and allow you to basically do async-based programming in a very clean, elegant way, such that we think, A, it's both performant, and B, it's designed such that people can actually write it without making mistakes. You can use standard error handling, standard kind of control flow-based approaches. And again, it's sort of an example where we think there's some really unique stuff that we're going to be doing in .NET. And kind of our goal with the next release of .NET is going to be, and this is true also for ASP.NET, both MVC and WebForms, is, you know, can we basically do with our languages and our runtimes what we did with Link back in 2008, which is sort of take this concept of you know, functional programming and ORMs and kind of bake it into the language in a very elegant way. And you know, I think we're going to try to do the same thing with async, and there's a bunch of really interesting stuff you'll see in the months ahead on that. Lastly, you'll see a bunch of investments that we're making around cloud, both our Azure-based cloud services as well as other cloud providers out there. And so you'll see even more focus around deployment, around kind of taking advantage of cloud-based computing and elastic scale. And you know, again, these are just sort of a few examples of areas. There's a lot more areas that we're focusing on. And you're going to see also just a lot of kind of continual refinement of existing features and kind of fleshing out of existing features. And just like we've done with the first three previews, first three MVC releases, you'll see us use a kind of a model of steady previews where we can kind of get feedback, bake it, and then ultimately ship it when we think it's ready and when you tell us it's ready. So there's lots of features that we're going to be adding into kind of the core MVC product in the years ahead. And a lot more features that we're adding in the core WebForms product and the core WebMatrix product as well. One of the things, though, that we've kind of, you know, I think is important to recognize is, you know, there's only so many features we can, on the product team on ASP.NET, ourselves build. And, you know, I think one of the things that we've tried to focus on in the last couple of years is figure out, you know, how can we take advantage of the huge open source ecosystem that's out there, and in particular kind of foster a great and vibrant .NET-based open source ecosystem, so that you don't need features from us, you can get features from anyone. And anyone in the community can feel like they can put together a project, contribute it, and get thousands of people to actually take advantage of it and use it, which of course encourages more people to create projects and create better projects, and you can get a kind of a nice virtuous cycle going as part of that. And kind of, you know, one of my goals is to try to figure out how can we make open source just a standard part of every .NET development project, you know, and have it so that consuming and using an open source library is as natural as doing a right-click add reference within Visual Studio to an existing kind of built-in .NET component. And I think doing that, you know, again, will enable a ton of innovation, a ton of vibrancy, and really allow us to move even faster from a development framework and platform. One of the things that we've introduced and shipped the kind of the V1 release of last month is this project we call NuGet. And it's named by the community. Basically, it's a package manager for .NET. It's not specific to ASP.NET, and it's certainly not specific to ASP.NET MVC. It'll actually work with any .NET project. So whether it's an ASP.NET, WebForms, or MVC, whether it's WCF, Silverlight, WPF, WinForms, any project type inside Visual Studio can consume and easily use packages that are published on NuGet. And basically what it lets you do is easily, again, as easy as right-clicking on a project and saying add a library package, or there's also a command shell where you can type in a command that's PowerShell-based, allow you to download a open source library for .NET from our gallery, or any other gallery that's hosted within the community. It's not tied to a specific gallery. And allow you to kind of easily add it into your project, pull down any dependencies you have as part of it, and then at a later point, you can actually also update the dependencies. So if you want to get a new version, it's as easy as kind of a one-line command or a simple resync within your project. And, you know, again, the goal is how do we kind of enable and foster anyone to create these projects? And we've had almost 700 projects added to NuGet in the last couple weeks. If you haven't been there before, go to NuGet.org. The website's still under construction, so there's a lot more features coming. Eventually, it'll support comments. It'll support ratings. So you can, you know, add a comment, add a rating to any package that you've used, and provide kind of a really nice search model so that anyone, again, can, in a few minutes, create a NuGet package for an open source library they've created, upload it, and share it with the world. And hopefully, you know, we'll see kind of millions of these libraries be downloaded over the next year. I think it's going to add a ton of innovation to the overall .NET ecosystem. In addition to kind of allowing others to create those NuGet projects, you're also going to see Microsoft use NuGet as a way that we can also go ahead and ship packages a little bit faster than the next big releases. And so you expect to see in the months ahead a bunch of work around scaffolding, around database migrations, around mobile, as well as testing support being added to the existing shipping versions of ASP.NET, both MVC and WebForms. And NuGet also is integrated into WebMatrix, so that you can take advantage of it within WebMatrix as well. And there's some talks later, a little bit later on today that specifically talk around some of the new scaffolding NuGet packages that Steve Sanderson's working on, and a bunch of other packages by other speakers throughout the day that you can actually start using today. And I think add a ton of value. So expect to see a lot more around NuGet and around pushing kind of open source in the .NET space in the months and years ahead. The other thing that I'd say in terms of kind of that we're focusing on, you'll see hopefully a lot more on in the months ahead, is just on samples and learning in general. I think one of the comments that I often get from people is, hey, there's lots of great technology. Glad you're moving so fast. How in the world do I stay up to date? And part of the goal behind, you know, events like today and the NBC Conf is kind of provide kind of free training for people so that anywhere in the world they can watch it, learn, and become better developers for it. You're going to also see us kind of be a little bit more prescriptive and a little bit more kind of thorough in kind of creating kind of what I call a curriculum around our different technologies, both NBC and our other technologies. So that, you know, instead of having to learn constantly from blogs or forum posts, you know, you'll know that there's a place you can go. You can actually read a whole bunch of tutorials that are step by step. You can watch kind of a curriculum of videos from start to finish. And there's also a bunch of guides and tutorials that you can read in isolation to look at and learn exactly specifics of what you're trying to do. We started this a little bit on the ASP.NET/MVC page today. You can find a great set of tutorials for her Build Your First App, as well as an NBC Music Store tutorial, both written for NBC3, that you can read and learn from today. And you're going to see, again, a whole bunch more content show up in the weeks ahead as we kind of flesh that out. And I'll make sure to blog as major new topics come up. Hopefully this will provide kind of a one-stop learning shop for how you can learn and start using NBC. Also, one of our sponsors of the event here today, Pluralsight, has actually put together a bunch of great NBC3 content. They actually provided a one-day preview of it for anyone to watch for free a couple weeks ago that I tweeted. And based on the feedback, there's been a ton of interest on it. And they've kindly offered later this week to provide 48 hours of free access to that NBC3 talk, ASP.NET NBC3 curriculum. And so I'll be doing a blog post, hopefully later tonight or tomorrow, that points people at it. And basically, you'll have 48 hours that you can watch all this content that would otherwise cost money for free, and hopefully provide a way, again, if you're looking to get started and get your feet wet with NBC, and specifically the NBC3 release, this course provides a ton of value. They're also coming out with an introductory ASP.NET NBC course in the weeks ahead that also, for people that are brand new to NBC, will also hopefully provide a lot of value there as well. In addition, as I mentioned, all 27 of these talks that are happening today at the NBC Comp online will be available for download afterwards. So if you either don't have time to watch all of them, and because there's four tracks, even if you did have time, unless you have four machines and can watch four talks in parallel, you can't. Don't worry, they'll all be available for download. I'll also blog pointers to that, and so you can go ahead and watch all the sessions that are happening today at any point at your leisure, hopefully get some great learning and samples out of it. So that's kind of the beginning, anyway, of this keynote. Hopefully it provides a little bit of context in terms of kind of where we're going, how we see NBC, and some of the investments that we have coming in the future. What I want to do for the next 30 minutes, though, is actually, since it's a community event and we're all online, actually kind of turn it into kind of a bit of an unplugged session, where instead of me jabbering on to slides, instead we're going to actually open up to questions on Twitter. And so you can actually tweet any question at me. And I've got John and Javier in the back room there that are actually monitoring it on Twitter and actually feeding them to me on the slide here. And so I'll try to answer as many as I can in the next 30 minutes. Based on the sheer number of questions that are quickly popping up in the list, we might not be able to get all of them, but we'll try to do as many as possible. And again, if you want to tweet your own question, basically just direct it to me at Scott Gu. Put your question in there and just make sure you include that NBC Conf hashtag. And then it should show up, and hopefully we can try to get to as many of those as possible. So a couple questions here. Let's see. So Web Coding for Fun asked, what kinds of sites should not be built with NBC? It's a good question. In general, I'd say our goal with NBC is you can build any site with it. In general, though, I'd say that a lot of times it depends on kind of, which of those approaches that you take with ASP.NET depends a little bit on what your preferences are. So I'd say less in terms of what are the exact types of sites to build or not build. I think a lot of it comes down to kind of what is your particular preference in terms of how you build sites. And then also, I think it comes down a little bit in terms of kind of, what's applicable based on the project. I'll use kind of two examples, and then I'll talk a little bit more about web forms and NBC, since that's a question a lot of people ask. One is sort of Web Matrix and NBC. They both use Razor. They both use C# or VB. And so there's a lot of, in some ways, similarities, but at the same time, they're very radically different approaches. Web Matrix kind of, frankly, promotes one page, one file kind of approach, and it's a fairly lightweight approach. And, I think for a lot of people, they'd say, hey, that doesn't scale to be an enterprise-based grade application. I want to use MVC for that. And I probably agree. If you want to build a giant enterprise-based application, I would definitely pick MVC over Web Matrix for that type of scenario. At the same time, a lot of us that do build large applications, put up small sites. And so, like, for example, this MVC Conf website that's actually hosting this event, was actually built with WebMatrix because it wasn't a very complex site, only had a couple pages. For that particular scenario, it just makes sense to use basic Razor, mostly content, a little bit of dynamic functionality. So that's kind of an example where, depending on the scenario, you as a developer might choose one or the other. The nice thing is you're using C#, you're using .NET. In this case, you're actually going to use Razor across both of them, so the skill set is actually the same. And it's not like you have to learn a completely new thing for that particular scenario. For a lot of questions, people often ask me, web forms versus MVC, when should I use one or the other? Again, I'd say it really depends a lot on your particular programming preferences and your particular background. If you're someone who comes from a controls-based approach, so you're a client-side developer, or you've used ASP.NET for a long time, and controls just feel natural because there's a data grid I can take advantage of, there's a bunch of built-in functionality that just allows me to focus on my task as opposed to having to focus on figuring out the markup and CSS, a controls-based approach with web forms might be a lot more productive for you, and that's totally fine. That's why we built it. At the same time, some people say, hey, I know CSS. I want to have complete control over my markup, and I want to have complete control over all of my requests. MVC gives you a little bit more access below the hood of the car, so to speak, and allows you to kind of tune things a little bit more along those lines. So some people will say, well, naturally I want that, or some people say, naturally I want this. They're both completely valid. A lot of it, again, comes down to kind of your particular preferences. A couple other questions here. Manzur Rashid asks, any plans to add an Active Record ORM solution? For people who don't know, Active Record's a pattern for building ORMs, where you typically have your domain model object, might have, for example, save method, it's popular with a bunch of frameworks. We have with EF and with Link to SQL, we've kind of used a slightly different based ORM approach that we call unit of work, where you still have plain old domain objects, so things like product and category. But instead of calling a save method on the model objects, you typically call it on what we call a context object that kind of coordinates the work. And one benefit of that is you can actually easily scope a bunch of updates and then save them all in one go. In general, I'd say we don't have plans to build our own active record-based pattern. It's something we've looked at in the past. In general, we think the unit of work's a little bit more flexible, and we do think with things like Link, from a query perspective, it also allows us to kind of take advantage of kind of slightly richer querying capabilities. In fact, if you look at some active record implementations, they're starting to veer in terms of allowing that type of query kind of capability as well within their framework. One nice thing, again, about kind of the approach we've taken is we think it tends to work better for multiple objects and just kind of scale and coordinate across them. But, Active Record also works fine. So we don't have direct plans to build our own Active Record implementation. There certainly are good Active Record implementations available for .NET. There's the Castle Active Record pattern. There's Subsonic and others that provide a pretty clean approach. And so we definitely want people to build them and use them. But we don't currently have any plans to directly bake one into the product. I am pretty bullish right now about the EF Code First library that I've kind of blogged about a lot over the last 6 to 8 months. I think you're going to see us kind of embrace and use that even more in the future. The nice thing about it is it does allow a very clean, kind of we call POCO-based approach, where you can just create a standard set of classes, no base class, no interfaces, no data persistence information at all. And I think kind of does a really nice job of both providing power, but more importantly, keeping the code just super, super clean and providing kind of the simplicity that I think people tend to like about other Active Record implementations without sacrificing any of that power. And so I think you'll see us kind of going forward probably promote that as kind of, I'd say, the recommended or default option. There's lots of other ORMs, there's lots of other data access that we'll obviously support, some of which we actually build, but also obviously things like in Hibernate and others that are provided by the community. I think you'll see us in some of our samples probably use EF Code First kind of going forward, probably as kind of our default approach. At the same time, make sure that all our features are designed so they can work with any ORM and any data access technology, and so you're not tightly coupled to any particular one. Post Hope Live said, how dedicated is Microsoft to the Orchard project? For people that don't know, Orchard's a project that we kind of launched the V1 of last month. It's an open source project that we're providing. It basically provides kind of a framework for doing CMS, content management, blogging, and kind of just an overall platform so that when you build a site, instead of starting with kind of a blank site or a site with a couple content pages, you can actually start with a full CMS and blogging engine. So you can pick a theme, and instead of writing code to populate all that content, you can actually use an in-browser interface to actually enter the content, approve the content, and so forth. It's been a pretty popular project, and frankly, even more popular than I think we thought. I think we've had more than 30,000 downloads in the first 3 weeks alone of the project. What's nice is it's actually built on ASP.NET MVC3, and so it uses Areas, it uses Razor, it uses kind of all the extensibility hooks that we built in to MVC3, and so it's a great kind of example to help push the platform and really make MVC3 even better. But it also kind of really takes advantage of that in kind of, I'd say, a deep way. And so the question is, how kind of committed are we to it? I'd say we're very committed to it. We actually have about four or five people at Microsoft, maybe six people actually working full-time on Orchard. And what's nice is there's a whole bunch of code contributions that are happening now from outside within the community that we're actually incorporating into the core source code. And so we actually do run it in a true open source way, not just in that we ship the source, but we're also taking check-ins and feature enhancements back into the core. And so you'll see us, you know, continue to invest in that going forward. And I think in general from a, it's something I didn't talk about in the keynote, but it's something that we're kind of focusing on, which is not only how do we add kind of, I'll call it core development features into the base platform, but kind of look at how do we build up the stack. And with things like Orchard and with other open source projects, so Embraco, who's one of the premium sponsors of this event, also is a great CMS, is what we run the ASP.NET website on. They're also being rebuilt on top of ASP.NET MVC. And you know, the benefit of having a CMS, especially a rich CMS like Embraco or Orchard, or a rich blogging platform that you can just start your site with and incorporate very easily, is I think, you know, the next sort of higher level set of features that we want to make sure that we enable, so that you're not always starting with having to write all the code. You actually can take advantage of these libraries and kind of be productive from the get-go, and take advantage of them in a clean way. So a couple other questions here. So Steve Smith asked, will Microsoft ship a template that prescribes proper separation concerns and IOC with, someone in the back could scroll so I can read the rest of the question. Anyway, I guess it won't. So I think Steve Smith said, will Microsoft ship a template with prescribes proper separation concerns and IOC with MVC? Great, thank you. I think basically in general what we're trying to do is you know, have our project templates. You'll see more project templates come out in the future. That's certainly true. And you know, what we are trying to do is make sure that our project templates do where possible, you know, obviously have best practices in them. So you're going to basically see us do that. In general, I'd say, you know, depending on the size of the project and depending on your exact circumstances, I think there's some limits to what you can do with project templates. You know, if you're building a project that you think is going to be one of the top 5 or 10 websites in the world, you are going to structure your project in a slightly different way. And, you know, if you also have existing dependencies and existing libraries that you're using, or existing way that your development teams are used to working, you're going to still tweak your custom, you know, your project templates slightly custom. So I don't ever think we're going to have the one true way project template that solves everything. But certainly our goal is to have more project templates. And you know, we'll have probably an internet. We're looking at probably adding an intranet project template that has Windows Auth wired up. You'll probably see mobile project templates, and certainly you'll have more that push kind of separation of concerns even further. Manzura asked another question, which is, any plans for a web asset management system with ASP.NET, like the sprite control, but more full-blown? Yes. I think my team's about to kill me because I'm going to disclose a new feature that's coming. But that is something that we're looking at doing, which is provide kind of what we call asset management support inside ASP.NET. The way we're going to do it, kind of a reference to kind of the keynote, some of the discussions I had earlier, we're going to build it in such a way that every ASP.NET project can take advantage of it, not just MVC, but web forms and web matrix. And basically, it'll provide a pretty elegant way to do kind of script, CSS, and kind of overall asset management, so that you can do things like combining files for fewer requests, which speed up your page, and do things like minification and so forth. And so that is something that we're looking at doing. And you'll see investments on. There's also a bunch of great NuGet projects already out there that do similar things. Again, our goal is, you know, how can we provide kind of out of the box functionality, but at the same time, how do we empower the ecosystem and the community for people to extend what we have, and then also if they want to replace it as well. So you'll see, I think, a lot of effort and investments over the next couple months, both by us and with the community, and hopefully together. Stefan asked a question, will there be an MVC wish list like for WPF and Silverlight? And so I think this is referring to some of the user voice kind of websites that we've set up in the past with Silverlight and WPF, so that anyone within the community can basically suggest a feature, and then better yet, everyone can vote on a feature, and ideally we actually do all the top 10 features that people ask for. Yep, I think the answer is yes. If we don't already have plans to set one up, I think Phil's back there in the room watching me, and so hopefully we can figure out some way to create that website. And so definitely, you know, getting feedback as early as possible, both on the feature suggestion and then also on the features that we preview, is definitely super important, so we'll make sure we get do that. Eli Lucas asked a question, when is the jQuery templating plugin set for release? Also, any updates on the jQuery grid? Good question. So we submitted what we call the jQuery template plugin to the jQuery project last year. Got a lot of great feedback on it, and based on kind of what we built, the jQuery project actually made it an official plugin, and you can download the jQuery plugin today off of the jQuery.com website. And it's one of a handful of official plugins out there. We've also done data linking as well as globalization. Our original plan was actually to ship it as part of the jQuery 1.5 core library. And we ended up deciding not to actually build it into the jQuery core 1.5 library, mainly for two reasons. One is there's been the jQuery mobile project just created, which is also something that we're pretty interested in. And part of that is the jQuery mobile project is to actually use the jQuery 1.5 core library. So there isn't a separate jQuery for mobile and a separate jQuery for desktops, but instead trying to have a core jQuery. And one of the things that's required is for us to keep the jQuery, or for the jQuery team to keep the jQuery core library very small. And so the current approach with 1.5 is actually not to try to bake in templating into the single file, mainly because that would actually add some extra file size that for low latency mobile scenarios might delay page loading. The other reason we didn't bake it in is we actually are working with the jQuery team, which is building the jQuery grid plugin, and we're helping sponsor that and contributing code to it. And the jQuery grid is going to be to use the jQuery templating plugin pretty substantially. And so we wanted to make sure before we kind of gave it a V1 official, the API is consistent and won't change blessing. Wanted to make sure that the jQuery grid gets a little bit further along to make sure that there isn't any feature changes that we want to make before we kind of bless it as official and commit to kind of a breaking change kind of model going forward. So expect to see the official V1 in the future. It's now in kind of a late beta, so it is actually ready to be used, and it is available within our CDN. So if you do use it, you can actually take advantage of our CDN-based performance. But the final official version will probably happen a little bit later on this year. There's a blog post that recently came out on the jQuery UI team blog post about giving an update around the jQuery grid control, plugin. So you can find that, and I'll tweet a link to it later today from the jQuery project lead that's driving it, talking about it a little bit. Couple other questions. Jeremy asked a question, will Expression Web get support for Razor and SQL Server Compact? So specifically kind of some of the web matrix features that we added. I believe the answer is yes, although I don't know the actual ETA on that. But I believe the answer is yes. Scott Poo asked a question, any plans for an Orchard-type project built on MVC for the e-commerce domain? I think there's actually a few MVC projects out there now. that are specific to commerce. I need to look some up, so I'm not 100% sure, but I believe there is actually some good projects out there that you can take advantage of. And that is something that we're looking to incorporate into Orchard. So the way that Orchard's been built is it's a fairly pluggable kind of core. It basically allows you to kind of add libraries from a variety of places. And I believe there's actually an Orchard Commerce project, now that I think about it, that is actually being added, so that you can create a Orchard project, get content management, get blogging out of the box, and then you can easily incorporate from our gallery a commerce module and basically get commerce functionality as well. Jerome asked a question, is Microsoft considering making a Selenium-like UI testing tool? So if we're doing kind of, I think, automated and integration-style testing with MVC and presumably ASP.NET. We actually do have some automated UI testing tools built into Visual Studio, I think Premium and Ultimate editions today. I think what you will see us do I mentioned that a little bit in the keynote from a roadmap perspective, is you're going to see us incorporate more testing, higher-level testing libraries, including integration-style testing, into kind of the MVC roadmap going forward. Unclear whether we're going to create a new one or, you know, where possible, what we really like to do is actually work with the community. And so, you know, I'm not sure whether we're going to create an alternative to Selenium, or we might just use Selenium, or we might use something else that's out there. But, you know, ultimately, I think we think with things like NuGet and kind of that approach, you know, hopefully we can have some really nice testing helper libraries that people can use are tailored, that can be community contributed, and that really provide kind of a suite, both unit testing, but also integration and UI testing support for MVC. Chris asked a question, will jQuery Mobile get built into an MVC template for a file new mobile site experience? It's a good question. You know, I kind of mentioned jQuery Mobile is something that we're pretty interested in a few minutes ago. jQuery Mobile is definitely something we're looking at, and it's something that we're kind of experimenting with, giving feedback on, and trying to figure out, you know, how can we kind of integrate it nicely into MVC. Certainly, I'm sure there will be jQuery Mobile project templates out there. Ideally, you know, if we think it fits all of our needs, I think you'll see us probably add a jQuery Mobile project template to MVC in the future. jQuery Mobile is still in kind of the Alpha 3 stage right now. So that's why we haven't looked at adding it in officially into the product yet. But it is something that we're looking pretty closely at. And I think as soon as it's baked, you'll probably see us have some default project templates that take advantage of that. I think you'll see other richer mobile support in the future as well. So it'll go far beyond just that. I think you'll see some pretty nice server-side runtime features to better support mobile as well as HTML5 in the future as well. Aludani asked the question, any plans to support F# in ASP.NET and ASP.NET MVC in the future? We actually do support F#. I think we support, we don't have out-of-the-box support for F# with ASP.NET or MVC today, but there is actually a F# project template someone actually in the community has posted, and I think I tweeted a link to it in the last couple days or within the last week. So you can actually, it's sort of the starter of one. You certainly also can go ahead and use F# for class libraries and then reference them from either a VB or C# based ASP.NET or ASP.NET MVC project. And when I say one thing that we have seen from a few people has been to use F# for some other logic, in particular anything doing with sort of financials or numerical analysis, write that in F# and then consume it from within their C# VB project. So that's definitely fully supported today. Rowan asked a question. I'll mention the people in the back there. I think I skipped a question. I didn't mean to skip a question. If there's any way to bring the question back, I can go back and answer that one. But Rowan asked a question while we're trying to see if we can get that old question back, which is what improvements are coming for HTML5 support in ASP.NET and in Visual Studio going forward? One of the things that we're doing that will ship shortly is VS 2010 SP1. And SP1 includes a bunch of new tooling support inside Visual Studio specifically to enable kind of IntelliSense as well as markup schema support for HTML5. And so you'll be able to use section article tags and some of the new kind of semantic-based elements that are being introduced in HTML5, as well as things like video, canvas, SVG, etc. And so that'll be available shortly, and that'll work for all ASP.NET projects, again, both web forms, MVC, as well as web pages-based projects with WebMatrix. You're also going to see us take advantage of more runtime features in the future, and it also include kind of richer tooling support for doing JavaScript-based development with HTML5. And so, you know, we don't have a bunch of plans that we're talking about yet publicly today, but that is something that we're obviously looking at and pretty committed to. John asked a question, how about MVC3 and reporting services? Can I render Word PDF from views? It was a question that John Gallad asked. Good question. Break apart into two segments. One is, can you render Word or PDF files from views? The answer is yes, you can. Typically in an MVC project, you do it in one of two ways. Either you can have a helper inside a view that internally encapsulates a bunch of things, or what oftentimes people will do is inside their view, they'll link to another action method within a controller. That basically returns a kind of binary result or a file result in MVC parlance. And you could basically retrieve from a database or from the file system a Word or PDF file that you have. And then within MVC, instead of returning a view result and saying return view, you can say return file. And I think there's an overload that allows you to actually pass in a byte array, and you can set the MIME type. And so that provides a pretty easy way that you can stream PDF as well as Word or any, frankly, file type that you want from within your MVC application. Question was, what about reporting services, and in particular SQL reporting services? Is there support for adding reporting services scenarios to MVC? I don't believe we have built-in support there in the future. You, certainly any reporting services API, though, you can take advantage of within MVC. And I believe that's something that the reporting services team in SQL is looking at doing in the future, but I'm not 100% sure on the plans. Good question from F. Giotto. I'm trying to pitch MVC to a client. Are there good examples of live apps using MVC? There are lots of good examples. I'm trying to think of ones that I'm allowed to say publicly. There's a bunch of really large sites that I want to be careful to before I announce, because I don't actually have permission from those sites to announce them. So I have to, as much as I really want to, and I know a lot of people that are working on this conference actually work for them, you need to be careful because I don't want to get in trouble with the powers that be at those companies if I accidentally disclose their technology decisions. But there are a lot of sites out there. Some of the largest e-commerce sites, some of the largest content management sites that are in the world are built on ASP.NET MVC. One that I can mention that is kind of like one of the top five sites by traffic in the world now is the Bing properties within Microsoft, both Bing Search as well as some of the new Bing properties like I think mapping and jobs and things like that are now built with MVC, and let's just say they withstand a ton of load and a ton of traffic on them. One of the reasons that actually, you know, I think I'll talk a little bit about Bing since it's our property, MVC was particularly attractive to them was the support that we added in the last release of MVC, which is for async support. And so they've actually found that the ability to kind of yield back worker threads while they do kind of async execution on the back end for getting search results and so forth kind of led to a dramatic performance win and reduction in terms of the number of servers. If you're looking for one of the top five sites in the world, you know, that is one of them. And it, you know, certainly when you look at the top five sites in the world, typically most of those sites are pretty custom sites, and so it's great to see them use kind of an off-the-shelf framework be able to kind of withstand the load and reduce the number of servers and grow their share. Other kind of big sites out there that have been very public about their MVC support, StackOverflow.net is one that we mention a lot, and I know both Spolsky as well as Jeff Atwood talk about the success they've had with MVC a lot there. It's a great site in the sense of just the story behind it. They started with an idea. They put up one server with one database running on the same box, and they've kind of really just built kind of a huge viral community. I know a lot of people watching this event use the site on a daily basis. The performance of it, the just you know, overall experience is just great. And I think now they're up to like three servers that they run on it. But you know, the load that they're able to take on those three servers, they're now a top 1,000 site. And maybe they're up to four or five servers. But you know, when you look at equally comparable servers by load and page views, it's really a fraction of MVC allows you to do the same number of load and the same type of responsiveness with a fraction number of servers. Lots of other Fortune, I'd say, I know of at least three or four top 100 sites with done by you know, sort of the Fortune 1000. I don't think publicly disclosed their technology decisions, but are either built in MVC or shortly about to go live with MVC. So in general, I'd say we're seeing a lot of pretty big sites. A lot of interest, and there's a lot of proven technology, proven businesses out there now that are built on top of MVC. Aaron on the web asked, any plans to get the MVC 3 binaries on Azure soon? Good question. Actually, if you can keep that last question there that you just deleted, I'll get to that one next. Sorry. The question was, you know, is there any plan to get the MVC 3 binaries on Azure? I believe either, I thought actually in the last couple of days they were just uploaded to Azure, but if they're not, or your VM hasn't been updated with it yet, one of the things you can do is, there's a blog post that I did, I think a week or two ago, that talked about how you can embed Azure, or embed MVC so that you can actually, inside the bin directory of your application, so that you can easily deploy it to a server that does not have MVC installed. So you don't need to have MVC installed on your remote hosting server. If you've got .NET 4, you basically can just add the assemblies to the bin directory, and then when you do a publish, it'll just work. And you can use that same approach with Azure. Drew Miller on my team actually has a blog post specifically on using that approach with Azure and the steps that you take with it. And if you don't actually have hosting set up yet for ASP.NET in general, what I'd recommend doing is go to the ASP.NET website, and on the homepage, there's a hosting button on the top right. Click that, and you'll find a bunch of great hosting providers out there that offer ASP.NET 4, some starting as inexpensive as, I think, $2.50 a month, or $2.30 a month is kind of one of the less expensive-based offers, as well as virtual dedicated and dedicated offers, and you can sign up directly for that. And in general, I think you're going to see us do a bunch of work around deployment, making deployment and hosting and cloud-based services even better. That blog post I mentioned that I did about 2 weeks ago that talks about how you can manually add the bin assemblies for MVC into your project so that you don't have to have MVC installed on the server. Had a couple manual steps. It only takes about 2 minutes, but there are a few manual steps you do. With SB1 of ES 2010, we're actually allowing you to right-click on a project and just say Add Deployment Unit. And you can either say SQL CE or you can say MVC, and it'll handle everything for you. So we're trying to make that even easier. And you'll see deployment be a core focus both for the next release of Visual Studio, but also something that we're improving even in the months ahead and providing kind of a richer automated deployment support for deploying .NET applications, both WebForms and MVC going forward. So with that, unfortunately, I think we're out of time. I hope this was useful. Again, for people that joined late or who are not registered for the rest of the MVC Conf sessions today, good news is all the sessions will be available on the website, so you can download them and watch them on demand at any point in the future. I'll also blog about that special Pluralsight offer shortly and with a link to it. And so if you want some other great professional content on MVC 3, they're also making that available. And I hope you enjoy the rest of the conference. And thanks again for all the work that the people that have helped contribute to this conference have done, the 27 sessions that are happening today, and just the tremendous community support for .NET. We really appreciate it, and best of coding.